Motorhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in. It is June 13th, 2026. The year is halfway through. I won't say it's halfway over. Just halfway through. Goes by that fast, doesn't it? Anyways, welcome in. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. That's 805-238-KPRL. Is this just me? Is it kind of sounding staticky? Let me turn the gain down a little bit. Is that better? I'm still figuring this thing out, you know? Every day is a learning opportunity, as they say. And man, is it frustrating. Easier said than done. If you're not learning something new every day, what are you even living for? Well, first things first, let's talk about some weather because we are rolling into summertime. Our high today is 89, 84 tomorrow. We're getting up into the high 80s, low 90s next week. Full sunshine, partly cloudy through Thursday and Friday. It's going to cool down a little bit towards the end of the week. Looks like Thursday is getting down to 77 and hanging out between the mid to high 70s throughout next weekend. So we might hit 90 degrees today, which means 95 around here. We all know how that goes. It's going to be a warm day, full of sunshine. Great day to get out and get some vitamin D. It's important. But let's get into what you are here to listen to. What does that mean for your vehicle? Well, a couple things when we get into summertime when we got to start talking about cars. Now, it's been a little warm, but we're going to have some sustained heat. And I think the main thing with sustained heat is it's not cooling off at night. So you got that sustained heat. It's interesting when you look in, if you ever read your owner's manual, I'm sure you did, right? I'm sure when you first bought your car, you went and like, oh, I'm going to read this owner's manual as soon as I get home. I can't wait to do that. Or maybe you bought a used car and then there was the owner's manual was missing out of the glove box. So you like tracked one down on eBay and you're like, oh, yeah, all right. Before I drive this car, I want to make sure I read the owner's manual. Yeah, right. It's like reading the instructions on a piece of IKEA furniture. Who does that? Does anybody do that? You should. It's a good idea. If you look into the extreme weather conditions, it's very, very minor in the state of what we deem to be extreme. You know, when you think of a vehicle being in an extreme climate, you're thinking of it driving across the top of Mount Everest, right? Or maybe going through the valley in Death Valley. And that's not extreme. The extreme is and by definition is a 40 degree swing in temperature. So it's not that big of a change. They deem extreme anything other than being in a controlled environment, like inside of a building and the vehicle's on a treadmill or on a dyno, I guess what you would call it. That's normal driving condition. So you can see how if you went through your owner's manual and you saw what your service intervals are supposed to be when it says extreme temperatures, that's pretty much anything, pretty much anywhere. I don't know anywhere in the United States that does not suffer some sort of an extreme swing in temperature. And so with that being said, it's important to maintain your vehicle and check on these things. The biggest one is, of course, tire pressure, right? It's one PSI for every 10 degrees. Now, when you're setting tire pressure, and I've gone over tires a lot, but it never gets tired. You see what I did there? Maybe I should retire now. Anyway, so when you're checking your tires, you want to set the tire pressure to the label that's inside of the door jamb, not the tire pressure that's rated on the sidewall of the tire. That's just the max pressure that the tire is rated for, not what it's designed to roll at. Each tire is specific for the vehicle. Now, last weekend, we just went into the new legislation that's being passed. By the way, there's no update on that if you listened last weekend. But the legislation's being passed that no more aftermarket tires are going to be available and you're only going to be allowed or legally sold the tire that came with the vehicle from factory. You're not going to be able to get any other tires for that vehicle. Now, I won't get too much into that because I went over that last weekend, but regardless of the legality of it, the vehicle itself is designed to have a certain tire, and the manufacturer creates the tire for that vehicle with the weight of the vehicle, curb weight, all that stuff, to maximize its fuel economy, to maximize the rolling, decrease the rolling resistance was another big one. Let the engineers figure out rolling resistance. Don't let the guys that are getting paid millions of dollars a year at the up in DC figure that out. So automotive engineers have figured out what the best tires for your vehicle and what that tire pressure should be. And that's what's stated on the door jam. Now, if you overinflate them, of course you're going to reduce your rolling resistance, but it's also going to wear down the tire faster because the outsides of the tires are going to be lifted up off the ground because it's going to balloon in the middle. Does that make sense? So now your tire is going to wear out faster in the middle of the tire because you have less contact on the road. So stopping distance is going to be reduced. Yeah, you're going to gain a little, some fuel mileage, but you do lose some of the safety benefits. The idea is to have that tire pressure set at a specific pressure, and that is going to make contact, allow the tire to make the most contact with the road. That's the idea there, without increasing rolling resistance. Now you can say, well, isn't it safer then to have the tires with less pressure? Yeah, it is safer. You're going to have more tire on the road. If you've ever been out to Oceano Dunes or anywhere sandy, you know the first thing that you need to do is air your tires down. So you got to take that air pressure down to like 5. You want it just before they're ready to pop off the rims, because that increases the surface area making contact with the sand, which increases traction. Now, you don't want to drive down the highway that way because you're going to get terrible fuel mileage. But regardless of the tire, you know, coming apart, because now you have so much rolling resistance that the tire starts getting hot. And then you have run the risk of a blowout. And that's how blowouts happen. Typically with trailer tires, if you don't check your pressure, you know, there's a science to this whole thing, right? It's like the Goldilocks. That's where we want that Goldilocks zone. Too much, not enough, right? Too hot, too cold, right? So that's where we want. We want that specific tire pressure to get the optimum rolling resistance with the safety introduced at the same time. So main thing here, 1 PSI per 10 degrees. So if you were to actually lower the tire pressure, increase the rolling resistance, it's actually going to get hotter and start saving itself in a sense, right? Because it's going to start building more pressure. Doesn't mean that's how you should run it, but if you overinflate, it's going to slowly start rising temperature as well and start overinflating the tire beyond that. So if you set your tire pressure to the sidewall spec of say 45 or 44, whatever the max rating on the sidewall is, and then you went out on a hot day, it was like 120 degrees on the tarmac, versus when you aired them up at 60, you went from 60 to 120, now you just gained, say it's 120, so you gain 60 pounds or 60 degrees, well, then you just put another, it's 1 PSI per 10 degrees, right, another 6 pounds into it. So now you're almost 10 PSI over what that tire is rated for, which again can cause blowout. So it's important to know where those should be. And as the temperature starts getting warmer outside, we want to recheck them and make sure that we're not getting overinflated. Simple stuff, right? Batteries are another one too. We see a lot of battery failures with the summertime. You know, you always think it's like when it's cold, the cold snap, the freezes, that's what kills batteries. No, we see more charging system faults as the weather gets warm. It's really tough on batteries. You got to remember, like, when that battery is under the hood of the car, it's under a lot of stress. The engine's hot. It's hot outside. It's not cooling down. So it's got a sustained amount of heat that's just being soaked into that battery for an extended period of time. Now, some things help. Like, if you park your vehicle in a garage, that helps. That keeps it out of the, you know, 100-degree Paso or Tascadero or San Miguel or Creston or Templeton or Santa Margarita or wherever you are, Creston. All right, keeps it out of that peak heat of the day, which will help sustain the life of it. Batteries are tough right now. They're in a sense where they're not tough, but they're just not built like they used to be. And there's a lot more, they're put in more extreme environments, right? So they're not that great anymore, and they're being susceptible. You know, your car is the second or third vehicle, so not only does it not drive every single day, it sits for 2 weeks, but it's sitting out in the sun for 2 weeks, and that battery under the hood of that car is just baking. So it's tough to say how long your battery's going to last. 2 years is, that's when I start getting kind of, that's when we start checking them and saying, hey, you got 2 years on this battery. I want to start saving up for this one. But if you park your car inside the garage, you drive it every day, that battery could last 4 or 5 years. You know, if you have a battery maintainer on there, you keep it serviced, you keep it cool, keep it out of the extreme environments. It helps. It definitely helps. And batteries are not cheap. You know, that's the one that really slaps you inside the back of the head when it fails, because it's, you know, $350, right? It's something that you can't go without. It's like fuel. Like, there are a few things in your vehicle that can fail that you can kind of limp it along and still use it for a while until you're ready to save up some money. But batteries and gas, the gas is on you. I can't help you with that. But the batteries, we do those a lot. And that's one of those things that you're kind of... You're kind of up the creek without a paddle. Like, I guess you could get out every time and use one of those jump starters, but how embarrassing is that, right? Everywhere you go, you got to pop the hood and put the little jumper on, and to each their own, though. You know, no shame. Anyway, I got to take a break. When we get back, we'll go over some more of this stuff, and then I got some stuff from the Ford CEO, Jim Farley, talking about the Right to Repair Act. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Paso Robles Floor Company has relocated to a new showroom at 1228 11th Street, Suite 105 in Paso Robles. Their new location offers a larger space and an even wider selection of high-quality flooring options to meet your needs, including custom sand and finish floors. Paso Robles Floor Company. Visit their new showroom at 1228 11th Street, Suite 105 in Paso Robles, where their dedicated team is ready to assist you in finding the perfect flooring solutions.
What's the latest news in Paso Robles? It's the grand reopening of the San Paso Truck Stop. The nationally acclaimed cheapest price fueling station in the county is launching its grand opening after a year of historical remodeling restoration. Tired of recent high gas prices? San Paso Truck Stop ranks among the lowest fuel prices in the state. The San Paso Truck Stop has everything you need for busy families and truckers alike. Find out why everyone is traveling to the corner of Wellsona Road and Highway 101. That's the San Paso Truck Stop, open 24/7.
For over four decades, one local jewelry store has quietly held a town's most meaningful moments, engagements, anniversaries, milestones. Founded in 1980, K. John's Jewelers became more than a place to buy jewelry. It became a place built on trust. 20 years later, a young woman would walk through the doors as an employee, learning from the jewelers who shaped the store and who would one day trust her to carry it forward. In 2020, alongside her husband, Lindsay Jane accepted that responsibility, not to change what people loved, but to honor it. For years, the cases reflected many voices, designers, friends, partners. But quietly, one vision was taking shape. Decades of experience, 12 national design awards, a body of work that had been waiting. And soon, the cases will speak differently. More focused, more intentional, more personal. Something new is coming, and it's been here all along. Lindsay Jane. Luxury jewelry and design from the heart.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at WeHelpYouLegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Welcome back in. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I encourage you to go check out our website at shiftinggears805.com. Lots of great information there. Tells you all about our shop. You can easily make your appointment online with our online scheduler. It gives you a live tracker of what's of when you can schedule your next appointment. Also, we have what we call the Key Lime Rewards program. Fairly new, but it's quite the hit. You bring the keys and we got the limes. You earn 2% back on all your repairs, plus some added perks like free oil changes and more stuff that we'll add as you go along. So I'd like to make sure we schedule your 6-month appointment upon exit, and with that you get a discounted oil service, because in 6 months you're going to be due for an oil service, so we want to make sure we do that. And you can check your Key Lime Rewards balance on our website as well, but we'll send out a text message to let you know what your balance is, how much you got, and we make sure we apply that to your next visit so you don't forget about it. Because like rewards programs, it's like that little rewards card that you put in your, you know, you get the little punches, punch the holes for the coffee shop, but for some reason you forget the card. Or like Costco sends you like the little coupon for the membership, and then you go to Costco like 8 different times, but you forget the coupon on the refrigerator every time. Luckily it doesn't expire, but I'm not saying that's happened to us, but that's just maybe that relates to you. So we do it electronically, so you don't have to have a card or nothing. You show up, and our computer system, with the help of AI, is able to recognize that and add that balance to your next repair. So pretty cool program. Also, we got the greatest saltwater taffy I think you've ever tasted, which is key lime flavored. So if nothing else, go on down and get one of a free piece of key lime saltwater taffy. It's been I think that's the best thing we've done. it's the little things, right? You never know what's going to be a big hit, but the taffy's a big one. Anyways, let's get back into this thing. So we were talking about summertime maintenance. And before I get into the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about AC, because I think that's what we all need right now. And what can you do to make sure your AC is working good without having to come into the shop and spend any money? Well, there's not a lot, but there's a few things you can do for maintenance. You want to make sure your cabin air filter is clean. Now, this isn't a big task. You don't have to be super mechanically inclined, typically. As soon as I say that, you have the ones with like the Dodge pickups that require a retrofit kit. You got to cut a hole and do a bunch of stuff, and you don't want to do that. But for the most part, 90% of the vehicles, pull the glove box down, couple tabs, you can pop the glove box forward. That's where your cabin air filter sits. Pull that out. Make sure you get a new one in there. I'm sure it's full of dirt and leaves and everything else. And that's going to help airflow. Now you're thinking, how does the airflow help with the AC? Well, more air is always nice, right? You want it blowing. You want to make sure you have a nice, strong flow of cool air, right? That helps. But also for the AC, it's very important that evaporator is getting enough airflow across it for the function mechanically of the AC. It requires that evaporator core, which is similar to a heater core, to have a certain amount of air flowing across it. If it doesn't, you're going to lack AC performance. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of moisture built up. Now, there is a drain that drains the water. That's why when you use your AC, you'll notice a little puddle of water under the vehicle when you stop. That's normal. That's what you want. It's condensation. It's like when you take an ice cold Coke can out of the refrigerator and you set it on the counter and it creates a little water ring. That's what you want to happen. That's what that evaporator core is there to do. That's what the drain's there to do. Now, if you're not getting the proper airflow, it's not. And what can happen is that evaporator core can start freezing over, and then that starts affecting how the AC system is functioning. It starts changing the pressures. Pressure is temperature related. We were just talking about that with tires. It's with everything in your whole vehicle. As everything gets hot, everything creates more pressure. That's how hot air balloons rise, I believe. I'm not a hot air balloon expert, but I feel like I'm on the right track there. You know, a lot of hot air coming out of my mouth, my head gets real big. It's like the same thing, right? So as the things get hot in your vehicle, they start expanding. So with the evaporator core, we need that airflow to flow across it, not just for your comfort and your passenger's comfort, but for actually for the AC to work correctly. That's important. So get that cabin air filter replaced. I know you're thinking, you go to the shop, and oh, they're just trying to upsell me a filter. No. Well, yes, but it's important. Yes, there's money attached to it, so there's a financial gain to replace the cabin air filter. I get it. We make money to replace the cabin air filter, but it's not needed. And it's beyond just, oh, it just filters the air inside my car. I don't care. I have my windows down most time anyway. No, as the filter gets restricted, it's starting to create it makes the AC work harder, which then the AC pressures get higher, which then puts more strain on the AC compressor. Do you see where we're going here? So now you're going to have a limited lifespan on the compressor. If you haven't ever replaced an AC compressor in your vehicle, be prepared for that one because it's not cheap. It's typically not just the compressor that can be replaced. Manufacturers want the AC compressor with the accumulator, receiver, dryer, whether it's a fixed orifice tube or an expansion valve. They want all that stuff replaced. They want, some of them even want the condenser to be replaced. And I'll get into the condenser here in just a minute. So with that being said, that's a lot of components. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of labor. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. $1,500 to $2,000 is not out of the question to get that stuff replaced. And unfortunately, when just the compressor fails, all the other components need to be replaced as well. And so that's what it is. So maintain your system. Saves you money in the long run. Just like with houses, right? Your house filter needs to be replaced every 6 months. And the HVAC guys are going to tell you the same thing. It's not just for the quality of air in your home. It also helps regulate the pressures inside the system. It's important. So talking about condensers, the condenser is in the radiator. So we have two different components that need airflow for the AC system to work properly. Make sure we maintain proper head pressure. Evaporator core is like the heater cores in the dash. The condenser is like the radiator for the AC system. So it sits usually right in front of the radiator. Now, with that being said, you could understand what could happen to plug that up. Bugs, leaves, dirt. I've talked multiple times. I think I talked last year during summertime about the stack. When you get into like these big diesel trucks, there's the radiator, the intercooler, the transmission cooler, the power steering cooler, the AC condenser, whatever else they want to put on front of there. I think that's everything. We have a stack of components there that are very tightly woven in with each other, right? They're very, very close. Maybe a quarter inch of airspace in between, which is a perfect opportunity for leaves to get stuck in between there. And then you go to the car wash, or you wash your car or whatever, and the water gets in there, and now it creates like this brick. You get this dirt and leaves, and it's all broken up, and you get a little water, and it just becomes like this mud, and it gets stuck in between there, and it starts restricting airflow through all those components. So it's important to get that stuff broken apart, or at least get it inspected, get a nice high power light, shine it through. Make sure you can see through the fins. Make sure you can see down the bottom. Make sure all that stuff's cleared out. You know, you're not always going to see a temperature change. You're not going to see the engine start overheating and like, oh, okay, I got to clean that up. A lot of that other stuff is going to start failing first. You're going to notice maybe the AC is not working so good. You're not going to see the power steering fluid getting hot because you have no gauge for that. So some of the things are just going to start overheating or running warmer than they should, which starts breaking down the fluid and creates shorter intervals, which cost you more money. So we want to make sure all this stuff's cleaned out. But when it comes to the AC, we do want to make sure we hose that out. If there's a bunch of leaves in there, make sure there's no restrictions there. And that helps the head pressure out as well. Part of the phase conversion when the refrigerant's running through the system is it's got to have that phase conversion. It's got to be able to extract the heat out of that condenser so that you don't get liquid back into the compressor. Now, worst case scenario, if it's overcharged and it's super, super restricted in airflow, you could get refrigerant flowing back into the compressor and the compressor could explode. Now, that is not a fear tactic. I'm just saying I've seen it. I've maybe seen it two times. And one of the times was with a Chevy. I think the 2019s had a recall because the AC line was too long. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was allowing some of the liquid refrigerant to get sucked back into the compressor, which then locks the compressor up, and then it goes boom. So that can happen. But as long as it's, you know, as long as you're not charging it with those little cans you get at the parts store, and you charge it to the weight that's designed for there, that is never going to, well, I say never is going to happen, but it did happen to the GM, but that was a recall. So we won't, let's not talk about the 2% here. Talk about the real world situations. The only other time I've seen that is going to the parts store, call it the grocery store, the parts store, and buying the little cans, and you just keep adding it, trying to make the AC get colder. Don't do that. There is a weight amount of ounces of refrigerants that's designed to go in that AC system, and you do not want to put more than that in there. And do not use the stop leak stuff. I will say that every single weekend if I need to, because that ruins whoever you go to. It ruins their machine if they don't check it, and if they do check it, there's nothing you can do about it. You got to replace the whole AC system. So I got to take another break. I'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
Fox News, I'm Daria Albinger. One person is dead and more than 20 injured after a tent collapsed at a church in Moneta, Virginia during a church celebration last night.
The folks that observed it that were on scene indicated that when the high winds came through, very quickly the tent just catastrophically failed.
Bedford County Acting Fire and Rescue Chief Abby Johnston. The U.S. beat Paraguay 4-1 at L.A. Stadium last night in their opening match of the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The U.S. taking the lead just 7 minutes in.
Olisic running in now. In for Tyler Adams. Great first touch. Still Adams. Batting in tight angle. It's in!
That's Fox Sports' John Strong. America is listening to Fox News.
Celebrate the 4th of July and America's 250th birthday with your friends, family, and neighbors at Barney Schwartz Park in Paso Robles, Saturday, July 4th, starting at 4. Enjoy the Family Fun Zone, live music by Garden Party and Steppin' Out, and a food truck zone all day long until the stunning fireworks show at dark. Parking and admission are free. So come celebrate America at Barney Schwartz Park on July 4th in Paso Robles. Find out more at prcity.com/July 4th. That's prcity.com/July and the number 4. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
This is Desi.
This is Melissa.
This is Katrina. Welcome back to your Eagle Energy 76 Country Store.
You already know that we have more than just fuel. We have what fuels you. When you fill up that car or truck of yours with 10 gallons or more, you get your choice of a refreshing fountain drink, a fresh brewed iced tea, or coffee.
Each and any size that we offer for free. Just show us your receipt.
We have an amazing amount of food in our deli that's more than just snacks.
Like our delicious mash bowl. That's mashed potatoes, corn, chicken, and cheddar cheese covered in gravy.
Call ahead for anything in the deli and we will have it ready for pickup.
We also offer a complete family meal that you can call in and pre-order or just stop on by.
The family meal includes your choice of 12 pieces of battered fried chicken, 20 fresh mojo potatoes,
and 6 biscuits, all for only $25. Just head to the Eagle Energy Country Store on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road in Paso Robles.
The Eagle Energy Country Store is now open on Saturdays from 10 to 5, serving delicious fresh chicken.
See you at the country store.
We'll see you at the country store.
And welcome back in. You are tuned into Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Thanks for being here. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. If you have any questions about your vehicle, that's what I am here for. In the meantime, I'll just keep rambling because it's kind of awkward when it's quiet. So I'll just keep talking until I get someone to call. Anyways, if you know of any events going on coming up soon, please, I love announcing the different events going on in the county. If you're looking for something to get out and about with your vehicle, maybe an old classic, or you just want to get out and hang out, Templeton, Atascadero, Paso, Santa Margarita, and San Miguel is the rotation. Templeton is the first Friday of the month. Atascadero is the second. Paso is the third. Santa Margarita and San Miguel. If we have a fifth Friday of the month, it'll be in San Miguel. Always a fun meetup. Always fun to see everybody out there. Get out in the community. Have a nice time. It's unsanctioned. There is no structure to it. You just show up anytime after 5 o'clock on Fridays. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hi. Good morning there, Jimmy. Tam and Paso. Hey, I just happened to hear you mentioning about the different locations, I think, for the car shows, right? Templeton, San Miguel, Paso?
Correct.
Okay, so who's doing what whenever this next car show is?
It's not a car show. It's just kind of a local meetup. So it's the every Friday of the month. So the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Friday.
The first one will be
Templeton, and then Atascadero, and then Paso, and then Santa Margarita, and then San Miguel.
San Miguel.
Yeah, you just drive down Main Street, and you'll see the cars. You just pull up, and there's no. That's it.
Okay, so
simple.
So who just had one? Because I remember seeing a bunch of old cars floating around Paso, and I was like, "Where's the car show at?"
So last night was in Atascadero. Everyone was cruising. There was a huge accident on the freeway, so there was. It went a little late, but Kmart parking lot typically in Atascadero. Templeton's Main Street, can't miss that one. And then Paso's, I think they're moving Paso around. I forgot where they moved. I think they went down to the Boot Barn, if I recall. And then Santa Margarita's easy to find. San Miguel's easy to find.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, can't do any different on Mission Road for San Miguel.
That's right.
Okay, well, thanks for that update. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. Bye.
All right, you're welcome.
So, yeah, if you're looking... easy meetups, easy things to do. I think as we get into September, we'll start seeing a few more of the car shows pop up. But if you know of any, let me know. All right, getting back into AC, air conditioning, the air con. I think I pretty much hit all the tips that you can kind of do yourself. The main one I want to put out there is just don't add refrigerant to the system. That's like... That definitely causes more problems. It's a possibility that it's low, but it's not typical. And I know with the cans you can get it, you hook it up onto the low side pressure port, and it does show you, you know, whether it's in the green or the red, but it's not showing you the high side. So you have the suction side and you have the high side. You have low side pressure, high side pressure. And the low side is the suction side because that's the side that the compressor is pulling into the compressor. Then you have the high side that can be up to 250, up to 300 PSI. And that's the typically the bigger port there. And we get into the YF stuff, and that refrigerant is super expensive. It's a very sensitive system too with the newer vehicles. So we kind of want to don't mess with that. And then we talk about hybrid. You just really just hands off with the hybrid. The compressor is ran... by an electric motor, which I think is really cool. That's like a really neat function of the hybrids. Typically with AC compressor, it's run off the belt of the engine. So the faster the engine spins, the faster the compressor spins, and the better AC is. Now you have newer vehicles, like within the last 8 years, variable displacement compressors, so they can speed up and slow down the refrigerant flow internally. Before that, you had expansion valves, which is like a thermostat, which could regulate the flow of refrigerant as well. So it's been something that automotive engineers have been battling for a long time. Because when you're sitting at idle at a stoplight, that's typically when you want the most AC. Mainly because you're frustrated because you hit a red light, or you're frustrated because you're sitting in traffic. So that AC better be ice cold. But when you're scooting down the highway, you can kind of you still need it cold, but the frustration is not as there as much. I don't know if that's the scientific reason why they want the AC to work good, but it makes sense to me. So when you're at idle, the AC compressor is not spinning as fast because the engine speed is a lot lower, right? So you have to regulate the flow of refrigerant to make sure that you keep that evaporator core nice and cold so that the air blown across it stays cold. And so with hybrids, I think it's cool with an electric motor, because it can just spin as fast as it needs to. It's not governed by the engine speed. It's an electric motor. Now, with that being said, you have a refrigerant that's being turned by an electric motor, and it's all sealed internally. Now, if moisture, and moisture is bad for all refrigerant systems. You don't want moisture in the system. Part of the service of doing like an evacuation with a big vacuum machine is you're pulling that down into a vacuum, which boils the moisture out of it. That's when you get down to like 25 inches of a vacuum, or 30 inches preferably, and you hold that for 30 to 45 minutes, the moisture starts boiling. It starts boiling out of the system, and you pull all the moisture out. That's the idea of it. There's a desiccant filter that's designed to absorb any moisture that's in that system. And if you leave it this AC open for an extended period of time, it ruins that desiccant filter, and it really needs to be replaced. And part of when you replace AC compressor, they want that desiccant filter replaced because they don't know how long it's been open or how long it's been in there, so they want it replaced. Now, if you hold it for a vacuum for 2 hours or more, you can get most of the moisture out, but it's the sweet spot's about an hour. After that, you're kind of the loss of diminishing returns, right? It's just not worth the time to keep doing it. So 45 minutes is kind of standard where you want it to be to get the majority of the moisture out of the system. Now, with that being said, when you talk about the hybrid systems, if you put the wrong PAG oil in there, you brought the wrong oil, if you put the wrong refrigerant in there, it's a nightmare. Because if you put a conductive oil or a conductive refrigerant, or you make the refrigerant conductive by using the wrong PAG oil in a hybrid system, it's not good. I'll just say electricity. I won't get into the nuance of it. I'll just say you put something in an electrical system. So you can imagine how bad that would be. So just don't mess with the hybrid stuff unless you know what it is you're doing. So I just don't like that they sell that stuff in the can at the counter. I get it. They got to make their money, but it really just causes more problems than anything. You don't know the quality of the refrigerant. You really don't know what you're doing. You don't know what the high side is. So I mentioned it gives you a gauge to show you the low side, but not the high side. If you put too much refrigerant in, that compressor is going to compress that refrigerant, and it's going to skyrocket that high side pressure. And that's not what you want. That's how you start blowing lines, having problems with the, you know, having a lot of problems. So just leave it to the professionals, unless you are an AC professional, let's put it that way. You know, they make us take a test for this. You have to have a certain qualification, certain certification to handle refrigerant. And we got to pay money for it and make sure it's, you know, everybody that handles refrigerant in the shop has it. And I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't like policies, but to have that for the automotive technician, but then just hand out, you know, the refrigerant at the auto parts store like it's anybody could buy it. It just doesn't make sense to me. But anyways, moving on from there. What else can we do in the hot weather situation? Well, you know, sunshades are always good. Getting some tinted windows. I'll leave that up to you whether you want to deal with the hassle of that too. But that's pretty much the maintenance part of it. You know, keep everything clean. Keep your filters changed. That's easy stuff that you can do. Now, if you're experiencing issues with your AC, definitely bring it down to us or anyone to have to make sure it's serviced before it creates bigger problems. A lot of times it's just the service ports themselves have a problem with leaking because they're kind of like little valve stems. It's always a good practice to make sure you're running your AC once a month to keep that oil circulated in the system. The service ports are on the very top. So if it sits for months and months and months, that oil is going to slowly drain down to the bottom into the compressor. And there's O-rings that are on those valve stems. And those O-rings are going to dry out and when they get dried out, they shrink. And then you start losing refrigerant out of the system. So you keep the AC running every once in a while, once a month, keeps that oil circulated, keeps the O-rings saturated with oil, keeps them from shrinking and keeps everything working. Or keeps all the refrigerant inside is the important thing. All right. Keep in mind, as we get into summertime, we do have summer blend fuels. Another issue we see sometimes is some drivability issues that are intermittent. They kind of come and go. You're like, what was that? And I get it. You want to make sure you get it figured out. But sometimes the vehicles do have a hard time catching up into the summer blends. Now, vehicles, you know, 2020 newer, they're pretty fast. The fuel regulation, the fuel monitoring is very quick. It can adapt to it very quickly. Some of the older ones, not so much. But they do change the fuel blend at the gas pumps for summertime versus winter blend. So you might have a vehicle that's been sitting for a few months and now you want to fire it up and go drive it around. And you notice, man, it's not running quite right. You fill it up again now with the fuels at the gas station and then it seems to have gone away. And you're like, that was weird. It must have fixed itself. No, it's legitimately could be just the blend of fuel that was in there. As we all know, fuel doesn't last as long as it used to either. You get like 3 months. So I doubt anybody has a car that's been sitting for 3 months. Because we know how quickly the fuel goes bad. But I think in this day and age, you're probably more apt to have an engine-related performance problem due to the fuel being bad than it being winter blend during the summertime. But anyway. What other tips do I got for you for summertime? We went over batteries, cooling system. Speaking of cooling system, I think coolant seems to be one of the biggest topics. Because it's so, there's so much. We have a shelf that I had to kind of dedicate just to coolant in the shop to make sure that we keep all the flavors in stock. Because there is just so, and it's not just there's such a wide array of them, but there's a wide array of them that we use frequently. It kind of blows my mind. I'm not really into the universal. Right? Like if there's a reason why they manufacturers have come up with, you know, if they want nitrate free or they want glycol or ethylene glycol or the phosphate or no phosphate, like there's a reason why. Right? That they don't own the chemical companies. They just know what's going to work the best in the vehicle. That's just my opinion. If there's a reason why they're calling for it, that's what we want to use. And they do all the work. And the kind of the proof I've seen with that was with like the GMs that they just came out with the new oil viscosity recall. So now they've gone from 0.20 and now they're asking for 0.40, right? So they're doing the research and they're figuring out what's the best thing to keep these vehicles optimized. And so with coolant, I feel like it's the same thing. So we got to make sure we're using the same stuff. And the universal just doesn't make sense to me. It like, for me, it thinks of like, if everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority, right? Like, does that make sense? Like, if you prioritize everything, how can anything be a priority for you? And so I look at that way with universals. Like, you can't have a universal. I mean, you could probably use it to top it off, but I wouldn't use it, you know, as a full fill. But I'll get into coolants here after the break.
Protect your home or business. Trust the experts at JV Roofing. With over 20 years of experience, JV Roofing delivers reliable, high-quality workmanship you can count on. From shingle, tile, and metal roofs to TPO and PVC systems, they have the expertise to handle it all. Family-owned, licensed, and bonded, they show up and get the job done right. Visit jvroofingca.com or call 805-674-1383 today for free estimates. JV Roofing, quality you can trust.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Story Termite and Pest Control, 805-460-0650.
Rats in my room. I am bothered by those rats in my room. By those dirty little rats in my room. I can't stand rats in my room.
Got rats? Story Termite and Pest Control has over 33 years of experience providing thorough and professional expertise for all your pest control problems, and for 5 years in a row, Story Termite has been voted the best termite and pest control company in the North County. And their service area includes San Luis Obispo to Santa Maria.
Rats in my room. I am bothered by those rats in my room. All those dirty little rats in my room. I can't stand rats in my room.
805-460-0650.
Fish in my dish. Fly in my eye. Go to my boat.
Meet Jared with Hutch Heating and Air. When was the last time you changed your filter or had your air conditioner looked at by a pro? Yes, a pro. Did you know your air conditioner can lose small amounts of refrigerant over time, wasting your hard-earned money to cool down your home without you noticing anything wrong? So save a buck and remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch at 466-8199 or look us up on the web at hutchheatingandair.com.
Attention kids of all ages. For great family entertainment, head to the Park Cinemas in Paso Robles with the latest releases as well as special features and showings. And if you're looking for a birthday gift or just a way to say thank you, gift certificates are available. For the movie hotline, call 227-2172. That's 227-2172 or online, parkcinemas.com. And as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy a movie or two.
And welcome back in. This is Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. Getting down to the end of the show here. Goes by quick. Phone lines are open if you want to call in for any last minute questions. If you need something throughout the week, I invite you to come down to the shop. Check us out. 1621 North River Road. So it's right off of... Right off North River. As soon as you get on North River Road coming from 13th Street, about 100 yards down on the left-hand side, we got a little sign on the street. Can't miss it. If you look for San Luis Ambulance, we're in that same building there, all the way in the back on the right-hand side. Come by, check us out. Alignments, smogs, oil changes, replace your whole transmission, rebuild your differential. Well, that got out of hand real quick, didn't it? We can do all that stuff. Also, safety inspection. So if you got something going on, you want a second opinion, bring it by. We'll put it up. We'll go do the under the hood, mid-rise, full rise at no cost to you. Give it a once over. Pictures, videos. Give you the whole rundown. No cost. And then that way we can determine what the best course of action is. So if any of this stuff is something that you're neglecting, all this stuff that I'm talking about, bring it by and we'll check it out for you. And one of the big ones is coolant. And what we do with our inspection is we test the pH level and glycol level of the coolant. We want to make sure that the freezing point is good. That's not important in summertime, right? Well, it is because it changes the pH balance. And sometimes you can just recharge the coolant. Sometimes you just need to add some concentrate and make sure we're using the concentrate of what is supposed to go in the vehicle. Or sometimes it needs to be flushed out. And now that's a controversial one too, because there's the flush and then there's a service. Now we can service it while we just suck out the coolants in there and then we add back in. Now if you keep your vehicle serviced and you keep the coolant from turning into that muddy, rusty color, then it's a very simple procedure. It's a very simple process to do that. We don't always have to flush it. We don't need to take off the hoses, put on the dialysis machine and run it through until the coolant gets good. We shouldn't have to do that. Got to keep it maintained. And keeping it maintained is sometimes just doing a quick little concentrate top off. That's really simple. We usually can't get to that. By the time we see it, it needs to at least be extracted and refilled. And then there's the flush. So there's a few different options here. And it's the same thing. We get it a lot with transmission services. I need a transmission flush. It's just become like a common name, like Kleenex for tissue, right? It's not the same. The transmission flush is not necessary 95% of the time. In fact, I don't even recommend it 100% of the time. I will always recommend a pan service where we drain the fluid, we replace the filter, and then we drive it and maybe have you come back in a shortened service interval to get the fluid to slowly come back to life. We don't want to shock the system. Right? If we put it on a dialysis machine, for one, it's not really necessary because it's like 12 to 14 quarts of fluid, which we just don't need to do. The main thing is you want a new filter in there and you want enough fluid to add enough detergents to start breaking up the sludge to then get trapped into the filter to then repeat the process. If you put 14 quarts of brand new fluid, the machine does not extract out the sludge that's built into the cooler lines, the end of the converter, and the fins of the turbine, fins of the stator, top of the valve body. I can go on and on and on by all the crevices that I've seen the sludge get accumulated inside of an automatic transmission. And I've gone off the rails a little bit. I know I was supposed to talk about coolant, but I think this is important. And so when you flush it out, it's not flushing it. It's not getting up into the top of the case and flooding the system, right? It's just running through the system as it normally would, except you're not driving. Now you have all that new fluid with all that new detergent. Think of it as like laundry detergent. It's soap. It's not, but let's just use that image. Now you're driving down the road and you're taking turns, you're going uphill, downhill. That fluid is sloshing around now inside the transmission. And all that new detergent is going to start breaking that sludge up. You have a new, hopefully they put a new filter in when they did the flush, but a lot of the time they don't even do that. They just hook up to the machine and then at the cooler lines and then away you go. Well, all that detergent starting to break up and it's capturing all that sludge and breaking it up. And that gets sucked up into the filter. Now that particle is too big to go through the filter element and it starts to plug up the filter. And that's what happens with a flush. That's why I don't recommend it. We add 5 to 6 quarts of a system that's up to 14. It's about a third, right? Say 30, 40%. Now that detergent is not going to shock the system. Yes, there's a little bit in there. It's like using half the soap, right? It's just going to slowly start breaking that sludge up and slowly start capturing it into the filter. So you don't end up plugging the filter up. And that's why I would say then we want to shorten the service interval so that the main thing is we get another new filter in there to then prolong the service of the unit. Now that's just if the transmission fluid is like real black and we're having real problems with it. We don't see a lot of metal, but it's starting to get restricted. Right, that would be the dialysis process that I would go with. Now, a standard service, if you're able to do it, say 40 or 50,000 miles, yeah, you went a little over what you're supposed to do. That's all right. Let's just do the normal service. Maybe the next one, we cut it down to, say, 25,000 miles, just to be safe. Get it back in, we'll check it and see how it looks like. If you do a flush from day one, it's fine. Like if you do a flush at like 20,000 miles, that's fine because it's going to keep the inside of that transmission sparkly clean. And that's the only time I would recommend it. But the service is extremely expensive. There's just no need to do that, right? So it's, yeah, I mean, I get it, but I don't. But getting back to coolant, it's the same thing, right? If we can catch it early enough, we don't have to do the big major dialysis where we're flushing the whole cooling system out. We can just suck out what's in there and then fill it back up. And talking about 2 or 3 gallons of coolant, and away you go. Everything's back where it needs to go. So glycol percentage and pH is really important. And it's really important when it comes to pH because when the pH goes off, it goes off very quickly. So what, you know, it stays in a certain zone for a very long time, 2 to 3 years. But once that pH starts getting off the scale, once it gets there, it's like a domino effect. It in itself starts creating more. It gets more acidic and gets more corrosive because it starts to break down the aluminum of the engine, which then integrates more ions of the aluminum, which then changes the pH even more, which it just gets worse and worse and worse. Same with brake fluid, right? As soon as you get that copper starting to dissolve from the inside of the brake lines, you get that high copper content in the brake fluid. That in itself starts creating more corrosion because now you have copper that's floating in the brake fluid. Right. And then that changes the pH and it makes it worse and worse and worse. So a lot of the time we see stuff like that's in the yellow. And if you've ever seen an inspection, which I'm sure you have with anybody else in the county or in the state or wherever you go, you get the green, the yellow, the red. And I've just never been a fan of the yellow because once it's to the point where it's got my attention, it needs to be replaced now. It's like it's a reasonable thing, right? I don't expect to see you again for probably 6 months for your oil service. So if it's got my attention now, it's only going to get worse in the next 6 months, which is going to create more problems. And at the time you're with your vehicle, I just want to fix what's broken now. I was like, well, let's service this other stuff so that you don't have to be so stressed about this other stuff getting worse the next time you come in. I just never been a fan of them. But we do. We do market yellows. That way we can have a conversation like this with you and explain why, because that's what's important. So anyway. I hope you gained something today. If not, I'll be back here next Saturday at 9 a.m. bring you more Gearhead Radio. Have a great weekend. Stay cool. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy
is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.